doing the Doshot Aran, we're up to page Tzadi in the Mishor edition, Nun Chet in the Shalem edition, Kuf Samech Aleph in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And we're up to a very interesting point in Doshot Aran. He's discussing why do people worship idols. He says, and he had said that when God gives us the commandment at that juncture that he was discussing, don't serve the gods of the land of Israel, don't serve their idols. So he says, the idea behind idol worship is because people think that the angels have capacity to do good or harm as they desire. And how did people come to this thought? That's because although the angels don't have free choice to decide who they're going to benefit and who they're going to harm, but nonetheless, they do serve a certain function in imparting blessing and harm in the world. For example, you look at the sun, so yeah, the sun heats you. Does the sun have any connection to you? No. The angels also have their role in bringing blessing to the world, but that doesn't mean that they have the decision, just like the sun doesn't decide who it's going to impart heat onto or not. And so he says there are two ways in which you can prepare yourself to receive the blessing from above. And this is where we're up to. Im or o b'sheyuchnu b'dvarim ha'poalim b'eichuyoteihim. For example, if a person wants to get the heat of the sun, so a person can wear black clothing, so he'll get hotter, right? You know, dark absorbs the heat. So a person can find ways to tap into the effect that's being imparted. Im b'shiyuchnu b'dvarim ha'poalim b'echuyotem ha'mfursamim. Ke'ilu tomar, as if you'd say, she'itchamemu b'chumam. A person, for example, would be heated in its heat, or itkareru b'koram, or cooled off in their cool, meaning a person can connect to things that are very distant from him. You want me to connect to the sun? Okay, I could stand in the sun with dressed all in black, and then I'll be warm. O she'yuchnu b'dvarim asher tiv'am ne'elam. So he says there's the physical connection I can connect with things above, or there are ways of connecting that I don't even understand, that that connect in a nature that's beyond us. Hanoagim b'mishpatei ha'sgulot. This is when we start talking about concepts of amulets, where we say there are things that can affect you, and there is a system, and there is a nature to it, but we don't understand it. Yeah.
So in other words, like drying your hands and your clothing, like even though there's any sense, like in the physical world, for that to cause you to freak out, there's a hidden connection, like a hidden connection.
Right. Right. So he's saying there are two ways you can tap into things. There's tapping into it in the natural way that we understand, that we can see in our physical world. And then there's tapping into forces in also a nature, meaning there's also a system to that, but we don't understand it, what we might call amulets, or you gave an example like that, or there are other things where Chazal say different things are going to work. הדברים המקבלים הכנה מצד האיכויות הידועים והמפורסמים, those things that tap into the physical aspects that everyone knows, אשר לפועלים המכינים אותם, that you can, everyone understands how this affects that. לא יפול בזה ספק ואין ניתות בזה אחר עובדה זרה. That doesn't leave any room for doubt or a person ending up worshipping idols. You understand, you stand in the sun, you get hot. You don't think that therefore I have to worship the sun. But if I tell you that if you build this and this type of mirror in your house, then your house will be warmer because the sun will like you more or whatever, before I say that, the mere fact that you don't understand the system, but the system does allow you to tap into certain forces, automatically leaves room, that's where he's headed, for that to be misinterpreted into idol worship. אבל מצד הדברים המכינים הגופים, המקבלים שפע הדברים השמיימיים, וזה מצד סגולתם, But when you have the capacity to tap into forces with a nature that we don't understand the logic behind, that's where people who didn't understand could start saying, well, I guess there's a force out there that likes when I do A or B or C, and that's why it affects me this way, and that could lead a person to idol worship. Yeah.
Is that what caused the golden calf?
Let's see, wait. Vehu, ki mitzad sichlutam b'teva hasgulot lo chashvu sheishtane mitzidam teva haguf hamkabel klal. Because they don't understand, to their logic, nothing should happen by doing this action. V'lo matzu makom baze ela kshechashvu ki umaseh hu neot le'elyonim hamashpiim hen sheyu malachim u'kochavim. So they say, why does this work? I don't understand logically why it should work. It must be that by doing this, the angels or the stars are happy with what I'm doing, and that's why it happens this way. Shemitzad hei otutam baze, because they like this action, hapoel, or the one who's doing this action, yosipu lashpi ala gufotam kablim. So they'll give you more. So whenever I can do something, and I could show you that it affects you in a way that you don't understand, so then you ask yourself, well then why is it happening? So then it's very easy to start interpreting the reason it's happening is because there are gods out there who like you and that's why they're doing this to you, or don't like you and that's why they're doing that to you. Meaning the second thing, something that I see has a certain system, but I don't understand the system, that's when I start attributing it to godly beings, to idol worship. And I could give you a very simple example. The Torah prohibits doing magic. Magic. Because it can very easily lead one that way. The Rambam, for example, writes that one of the worst things you could do is cause people to think that, and the Rambam in his explanation of the prohibition of doing magic, a sleight of hand, the Rambam says, because one of the worst things you could do is cause people to think that there's a system beyond our system. Meaning what we're seeing here in the Ram. I understand the way the physical world works. But when I could make you see something, I could make you envision or believe that something's happening that's out of the system, so then not everything is up to my logic, I don't understand everything, so then I can very easily veer that misunderstanding into idol worship. A simple example, I say, give me your key, give me any item you have, give me your glasses, give me your watch. I take your watch and I say, okay, this watch, now I want you to hold it. And as you hold it, it will get hotter and hotter and hotter. And the person takes it in his hand, and as he holds it, it becomes hotter and hotter to the point where he can't touch it, where it gets so hot that he feels like it's going to burn his hand. That's a magic trick that we do, okay? Basically, what we do is we take a chemical. We have a chemical that when it comes in contact with metal and it comes in contact with the body heat, it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. Yeah. We hold a chemical that you don't see, and we could put it on any metal object. Any metal object. You have a little bottle of this chemical, and when the person gives you it, so you say, okay, I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to put my powers into it. You can say whatever you want. But the truth behind this magic trick is that you're putting a chemical on that metal object. You don't see it. It's like water. A drop of this chemical, and you could take a piece of silver foil, and a person, when he holds it, it's going to get so hot he won't be able to hold it. Now let's take this to a different scene. I prepare a room. I have curtains. I have a crystal ball. I have shadows. I have little candles. I have incense. And I say, now I'm going to tap into the spirits. And you know what? You're going to see. They're not so happy with what you did. The first thing they're not happy with is that when you walked in here, you only put $200 on my plate. So you're going to hold this metal piece, and they're going to express their anger with you. I want to tap into the forces, but they feel this is very disrespectful. So I feel like they're going to show you that by the heat. You know, let me see your watch. Hold on to that watch. You know, time is precious. You're going to take from my time now. I want you to hold on to that watch. You hold on to that watch. Now, if you sense it's comfortable, then we're okay. Then the spirits are going to talk to us. But if it suddenly gets hot and hot and hot to the point where you can't hold it, you understand they're telling you something. You see how we could take this in many directions? You know the secret behind the secret. But the second you have something that the person can't explain, so now he looks at the watch and he says to himself, I've been holding this watch for years. I've been wearing this watch my whole life. I never had this problem. He's willing to swear that the spirits came into the room and caused his watch to become hot. And that, I just give you one example of a magic trick. And that's because when I was a kid, I studied magic. So there are a lot of tricks like that, where you look at it and you say, how'd that happen? You know, I could take a spoon that you had for years and just put my hands on it, and suddenly it divides into two. Right? Or I can make you do it. What's the trick behind it? There are 15 different ways to do this one. I mean, there are many ways to do this one. Doesn't matter. It depends on the scenario. But it has nothing to do with Uri Geller and all these other guys saying that they're going to meditate and do all the other things. But, you know what? If you don't explain a trick to someone, so what are you doing? I'm discussing something slightly different than the Ran, but it's along the same lines. The second I take you out of the realm of what you understand, so then your understanding could go everywhere. Because you say, I've been using the spoon for years, and I had no problem with the spoon. And suddenly he told me that if I hold it, and the spirits come down here, and I suddenly do this, the spoon becomes like butter, and then it cracks in two. So again, there are many ways to do this trick. But the fact that you don't understand allows for a lot of misunderstandings. So the Ran is saying a concept which we also saw in the Ramban, in Torat Hashem Tmima. And what they're saying, what's behind the concept, is that there are really two systems at play in the world. There's the physical world that we understand. And then there's a metaphysical world. And there is a way of tapping into forces in the metaphysical world, and there's a nature to the metaphysical world, which if you only know, you could tap into it. We'll see later on in the Drashat HaRamban, he says, you could understand based on the birds. You could. The Talmud says there used to be a wisdom of palm reading. We lost it, but there used to be a way of understanding a lot of things from reading a person's palm. So today what we have is almost nothing. Half of it, they forgot 90% of the understanding, and whatever 10% they have is not so accurate. But there was such a wisdom once. Now, if I look at your palm and I could tell you, look, at this and this age, you're going to have X, Y, Z. How that works, I don't know, but Chazal say it exists. And then it happens, so you could say, gee, that's very smart. Or you could say, he has powers. It struck me when I did a few tricks for kids, and after the tricks, one of the kids came up to me and said, you know, my grandmother's sick, could you please heal her? And then it struck me, I said, what's going on here? Yeah, to their mind, if I could do something that doesn't fit into the laws of nature, so I'm God. Okay, I'm not saying I'm God, but in their minds I am. And the Ran says, there is a system that doesn't seem to work with nature, but it has its own nature. It's not that it's that the angels decide because you do A, B, or C, we love you, so we'll help you. It's that there's another system, and if you don't understand that system, then it's very easy to end up falling into idol worship. This is the root, the foundation that idol worship was built on. And then they start offering incense and sacrificing to that angel or that star because they figure that's how I'll appease him and get what I want from him. And this is the antithesis of truth from two aspects. Firstly, because nothing you're going to do is going to make good to a godly being, to the angel, and nothing you're going to do is going to upset him. Because they have nothing to do with us. It's not like you're going to appease any angel. There are angels, but you're not going to make them happy and you're not going to make them sad. They couldn't care less. And the second reason that this is the antithesis of truth, and secondly, because they don't have a choice. It's not like, even if you could make them happy, they couldn't give you what you wanted. He says two reasons why this is a lie. One, you ain't making them happy or sad. Two, they can't give you anything. They don't have the capacity to add or detract. If you can prepare yourself and align yourself in a way that you can tap into that, so then it happens. It's not like they decide to give it to you. It's like a guy who's sitting in a cave, and he's saying, why doesn't the sun heat me up? Go out, stand in the sun, you'll get hot. The same thing here. There are forces at play. If you can tap into them, if you can do what's necessary to glean from those forces, fine. But it's not that they choose to give it to you, just as the sun doesn't choose to make you hot. that the idol worshippers, they try to convince you that, no, the sun wants to make you hot. The stars, the angels, you can connect to them. If you only make them happy, they'll make good to you. So he says that's wrong on 2 points. You're not making them happy, and they don't have a choice of who they're going to make good to. They're part of a system. There's a nature in the world, and you just have to work with that nature. That's why the Torah says over here, don't bow to the idols, to the gods of the land of Israel. After God says, I'm going to send an angel, and he's going to guide you into the land of Israel. But watch out from him. Shma bekolo, listen to him, al tamel, but don't rebel against him. Ki lo yisa lepishachem. He won't put up with your rebellious ways. Ki shemi bekribo, for my name is within him. V'u komer, it's as though God was saying, acharei umri elecha bezeh amalach amrumam b'mala. After I've told you, this exceptional angel, who is on a higher level, mishar amalachim, that he's, like Chazal say, like he explained earlier, he's on a higher level than other angels, mitzad kishmi bekribo, because my name is in his midst. To the point where Hashem says, this angel you listen to. Ordinarily, you have nothing to do with angels. But this is one angel whose job is going to be to guide you into the land of Israel. You will have to respect him and listen to him. Nonetheless, even though I've made an exception and told you there is one angel who's going to be exceptional, he's going to guide you into the land of Israel. Nonetheless, I've told you, amalti lachem, ki lo yisa lefi shachem. He won't put up with your rebellious ways, because he's not God. I, Hashem says, I can forgive you. He can't put up with anything you do wrong. He's an angel. And then we infer, okay, what's going to be with all the other angels that are not on this angel's level? And certainly when it comes to the army of the heavens, you could understand that if I'm telling you my top angel can't do anything that I don't tell him to do, and he can't forgive you because it's not within his capacity. What he could do is guide you into the land of Israel. I'm giving you a special directive with regard to him. Respect him. Listen to him, because that's his job, to guide you in. But nonetheless, look, he's limited. He can't forgive you. So then you understand all the more so when it comes to angels and the armies of the heaven, that they have no capacity to do good or bad, being can. And if so, now that you understand that they're not going to be able to choose who they affect how, so then the logical conclusion is, don't bow to their gods, don't serve them, because you won't benefit anything from it. That's what the Rani is saying, that over here, that Hashem is pointing out the limitations of the angels, is a fitting place to remind us there's no point in worshiping angels or other forces that might be, because it's like the sun. They don't have a choice who they're going to affect how. Once Hashem pointed that out with regard to the angel that he was sending to guide us into the land of Israel, that was a fitting place to remind us again, so don't bow to any other forces that exist into the world, because they don't decide who they're going to benefit and who not.